If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for free. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer, and I talk about the greatest SummerSlam moments and matches of all time. We give our top five list. We talk to the nation. We talk all about SummerSlam. And also, we get into a great conversation with the universal heartthrob himself, Austin Idol, and somebody who's going to be a part of our party. That's right, 2 to 4 Eastern time on Sunday. Make sure you go to SiriusXM.com/SummerSlam. The one and only RJ City. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. We're talking SummerSlam. We're getting ready for SummerSlam coming up on Sunday. That's right. One of the biggest pay-per-views, part of the big four of the WWE on Sunday, SummerSlam. But we're celebrating from 2 to 4 with the Busted Open Nation. Register now. Go to SiriusXM.com/SummerSlam. Be a part. Register. Get your questions in. Interact with myself and Tommy and Mark and Bully, because we are going to have a party. There's going to be some drinking. Who knows what else? I might throw up. I might vomit. That might be a Busted Open record, how many times somebody can vomit. Since there's over 1,000 people right now, we could have 1,000 people vomit during the party.
I think we're going to have 3,000 people.
3,000 vomit or just 3,000 people in general?
3,000 people in the. That's my goal, 3,000. So Busted right. Open Nation, just sign up. We got 3,000. We're all going to party. We'll have some fun.
My goal is 10,000. I want 10,000 people to be a part of the party. I want an arena full of people when there's no arena to fill.
How many can Zoom hold? I don't know.
I heard our party is 10,000. Now, obviously, we can't see everybody. We can't see 1,000 people, but we're going to have chat windows. You know, they're going to be able to see us. We'll be able to interact with them. So we can hold up to 10,000. So I'd love to fill it. 10,000.
Just think of the bandwidth alone to hold me, Bully, and Mark together. Wow, that's a lot of bandwidth.
Oof. That is a lot of bandwidth. But speaking of SummerSlam, it's not just about what's going to take place on Sunday, Tommy. It's the history of SummerSlam. And SummerSlam has a very, very rich history when it comes to the WWE, WWF. You know, the first ever SummerSlam starting in 1988 at Madison Square Garden. Like I said earlier, I went to the second ever SummerSlam in East Rutherford, New Jersey at the Brendan Byrne Arena. Most people say maybe the greatest SummerSlam ever was the fifth in 1992 at Wembley Arena. Like there is a lot of history, a lot of great moments and a lot of great matches when it comes to SummerSlam, Tommy.
Hell yeah. And you think about Mark Henry debuted 1992 SummerSlam, correct?
And it wasn't his first appearance, but like he did get let's just say there's a lot of interaction with Mark Henry at that first at that SummerSlam that he appeared.
I read that's where he debuted. I thought that's where he debuted. You mean?
Well, it's confusing because I remember like you first saw him on a Raw in attendance, and then there was interaction with Jerry Lawler. But I don't think his first match took place on SummerSlam. I'll have to go back and look. I thought it was a little bit later, like his first official match.
Or we could just ask him when you're on the show tomorrow. I'm sure he'll call in and correct me.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, Mark, the date of your first official match. I think it was after. I think I'm looking it up right now. I think it was after SummerSlam. I know he had, you know, because he had the whole, he's like with you. He had drama with Jerry the King Lawler, just like you did. He had drama with Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh wait, yeah, 96, not 92. Wow, I'm a little slow today.
Well, no, I didn't even hear you say 92. That's completely off. 92 was in Wembley. It's, you know, I don't even think, you know, Mark was still lifting weights at that point.
Oh yeah, he was. How come? I know I saw that somewhere. Anyway, he probably tweeted it. He's in my brain. I have weird dreams sometimes. Yeah, no, I look forward to. You want to hear my list? You want me to give you stuff? Tell me, talk to me.
No. Keep a little bit in the condom. So you did a top three list when it comes to, and that Gabby just said his first official match was September 22nd. Right. So just after SummerSlam, but he did appear at SummerSlam. Was that In Your House pay-per-view that we first saw Mark Henry in a match against Jerry the King Lawler. So Tommy, before you give your top three moments, I have my top five, you have your top three, but before you give your top three, is there any like honorable mentions? Is there any moments or matches that unfortunately you couldn't put in your top three?
Well, I actually had a top four, but because I couldn't think of a fifth, I would say, but you know me, I always like to do one, two, three. My honorable mention is the Ultimate Warrior defeating the Honky Tonk Man for the first Intercontinental title in that astonishing seconds, ending the longest reign at the time, the Honky Tonk Man's title. And then it saw really the stardom of the Ultimate Warrior take off, which then led to, you know, him winning the title. But I remember being, and I was in the business, but I remember being shocked that it happened and the shocked that he beat the Honky Tonk Man with such ease and so quick. And I was just like, huh? And when you could get a young Marky Tommy Dreamer to go, huh, when he's actually wrestling, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And for me, I'm going to give an honorable mention. It would be my number six on my list. And I said I was in attendance at the SummerSlam at the Brendan Byrne Arena in 1989, the second SummerSlam, the first match of the pay-per-view. And that was the Brainbusters against the Hart Foundation. Amazing tag match. Great match. Go back and watch it again. And being able to be in attendance for that, that was a very special moment for me as a fan. So my honorable mention would be the Brainbusters and the Hart Foundation at the second ever SummerSlam.
Was the title changed hands or was it just a match?
No, it was just a match. Neither one were tag champions at that point.
Looking at Twitter, a lot of fans are talking like how we are talking, where people are giving us like their top five, top three, and it's all older matches. You know, a lot of Bret Harts, a lot of Owen Harts, a lot of older stuff. I'm talking 1995 and under. So pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at like greatest moments and moments that are memorable, I would have to think, Tommy, for a lot of people, like a lot of wrestling fans, and we'll find out when we're talking to the nation in just a second, because we want to hear from the Busted Open Nation your favorite moments and your favorite matches from SummerSlam. 877-344-4893, 877-593. And Tommy, there's no wrong answers here, because when it comes to pro wrestling, a lot of it is nostalgia, which is like a lot of the moments for me is, you know, when I was younger. I know probably for a lot of the nation that are going to call in today, it's probably when they were kids. You remember those moments more when you were younger and first becoming a fan than something that just may have happened a year or two ago.
Oh, hell yeah. And like we also said, our brains are now programmed to, WWE tells us to kind of forget things when we really shouldn't. And that's why we're all crazy wrestling fans. But it's, hey, SummerSlam, biggest part of the year, SummerSlam. And then, wait, Monday Night Raw. And then, oh, wait, here comes NXT. Oh, wait, here comes SmackDown. And they do. I mean, I just watched, when I got home, SummerSlam from last year with Trish and Charlotte. And I was like, I totally forgot this match even happened in Toronto. It was an amazing match, but I had forgotten totally about, and that was just last year.
This is Jake Query of the Pennzoil IndyCar Radio Network for Sirius XM Sports. Pole sitter Marco Andretti will lead the field of 33 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on August 23rd for the 104th running of the Indianapolis 500. The field includes 8 former winners, 5 rookies, and 2-time Formula One world champion Fernando Alonso. The race begins at 2:30 Eastern on August 23rd, with coverage beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern on XM Channel 205, Sirius Channel 211, and the Sirius XM app.
Tommy, starting at 5, give us your top 5 SummerSlam moments or matches.
All right, number 5, when Jesse the Body Ventura returned
to
be the special referee, and he was paid $1 million. Thought it was big for the simple fact of, again, mainstream press, a former governor. He had so much heat in the WWE, and for him to come back was a super-duper big deal. And again, had that big SummerSlam feels in my feet to my head to my toes. The next, which we already discussed, the Warrior versus the Honky Tonk Man, which started the Warrior legacy, but also that when that music hit and, I knew Warrior was on a tear. I knew the Honky Tonk Man was the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, but I never thought he was going to go down that quickly. Now, here's the big one. Because we always remember our first, David, the first ever TLC. 20 years ago, my God, I'm getting old. The Hardys, Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, man, those guys tore it up. It was great. Loved it. Now, here's something that I never thought would come out of my mouth back then or even now. Because I was just, I'm like you, Dave, I'm a wrestling purist. I loved wrestling, and I hated a lot of the hokey stuff, but this was not hokey. This had me and everyone hooked. The wedding of the Macho Man and Elizabeth. Will you? I do. Yeah, the wedding. And then finally, because that was soap opera stuff, and I didn't like soap opera stuff, especially back then. But, that was amazing. And I remember watching the entire thing. And when nothing happened, I was still happy. And then Jake ruined it on the after party, which was awesome. And then finally, my number one, because when I think of SummerSlam, I think of just the wrestling business exploding. And I got to go with Brett versus Davey Boy Smith at Wembley. All those fans, the emotion, the stories that were told. And still to this day, when wrestlers are talking over spots or stuff, we'll always reference Brett Davey if you're going for a finish or a false finish. And everybody knows sunset flip and then stack the guy. So it's been so many years, but still so, so influential. And if you go back and watch that match, it still holds true to this day of how great those two guys work together.
Awesome list, Tommy. And you mentioned the wedding, and I'm with you. We're kind of like wrestling purists and didn't like the hokey stuff. But as you can tell today, I got my Macho Man old school Randy Savage t-shirt on that I purchased in 1987 at the Brendan Byrne Meadowlands Arena.
Wow, that's the original one.
Yep, I tell you, man, that because I couldn't fit into it then because they only had extra large. Unfortunately, now in 2020, I can fit into the extra large, Tommy. But seriously, like that wedding, because Elizabeth meant everything to us. I had the Elizabeth poster on my wall because you looked at her as she was the ultimate lady, Elizabeth. You had the ultimate respect for Elizabeth. You didn't look at her the way you looked at certain people. You looked at her with reverence. And man, that wedding with Randy Savage and Elizabeth was something very, very special. And even like you said, it was soap opera-esque when, Randy Savage dropped to the knee to propose and she said, "Oh yeah, Elizabeth, I love you." Like, that was amazing. Like, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about that. And to see that wedding at SummerSlam was something special. So there's a couple of moments that, we've heard about already and that you have said as well. So let me give you my top 5. This is one that hasn't been mentioned yet, and it should. And that is at number five, I have AJ Styles and John Cena from 2016. One of the rare John Cena moments that weren't, you know, wasn't a main event. That year, it was Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton. Everybody remembers the elbow to Randy Orton's head. And then you heard about the confrontation with Chris Jericho and Brock Lesnar in the back, you know, when he took that elbow and busted Randy Orton open. But earlier on in that night was AJ Styles and John Cena. And in 2016, I don't know if people remember, that was my match of the year, was AJ and John Cena from SummerSlam 2016. At number four, I was at this SummerSlam. It was out in LA at the Staples Center. And that's CM Punk and Jeff Hardy when CM Punk won that world championship from Jeff Hardy. Amazing match at SummerSlam. That was the main event that year. At number three, it was mentioned earlier by a caller, 1991, Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. Go back and watch that match. You know, again, Bully mentioned it, you mentioned it, I mentioned it. You know, kind of the MVP when it comes to SummerSlam is Bret Hart. Go back and watch Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect. At number two, I have that TLC match. Again, 20 years since that TLC match, SummerSlam 2000, the Dudleys, the Hardys, Edge and Christian. Amazing, and we're going to have to definitely talk about that tomorrow with Bully Ray. And just like you, Tommy, at number one, Bret Hart and Davey Boy, the main event for the Intercontinental title at Wembley. I mean, the crowd react. Lennox Lewis coming out with Davey Boy, you know, Bret Hart about to leave the ring when that match was over and everybody booing Bret Hart. Then he goes back into the ring. And then the second time is about to leave the ring and everybody boos. But then you get the handshake, you get the embrace, a special moment, a special match in the history of SummerSlam. And that's my number one.
Dude, I totally forgot about Lennox Lewis being there. And that was awesome. And I was also on a flight with him when he came home from that show.
Wow, really?
Yep. He said he was doing something with the WWE, and I was like, oh, really? And meanwhile, it just happened, and I was just totally, like, acting like I was cool.
Tommy, you are, man. You are cool, too, Tommy. You did both. You're hardcore. Are you ready to get back to the Busted Open Nation?
Hell yeah.
Right, let's go out to Sam in New Jersey. Sam, give us your favorite SummerSlam match, Sam.
Morning, guys. So let me set the stage real quick. Monday night, 1991. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I don't know if you guys are like this too, but some of my most vivid memories come from these big four pay-per-views back in the day. But anyway, my older brother was a big-time Perfect Mark. He loved him. You know, he claimed that he was the greatest. And this was before the internet, so, you know, it was basically what you saw on TV and everything. And I was a big-time Bret Hart guy, and he kept saying how, you know, it was Anvil that carried the Hart Foundation, and he had no chance against Perfect. But anyway, that match was one of the greatest matches in SummerSlam history to me. Also, the finish with Bret Hart doing the leg drop, or rather, sorry, Perfect doing the leg drop and Hart turning it over into the sharpshooter and having him submit. I mean, that was one of the best moments in SummerSlam history to me.
Yeah, and I love the old school, like, not the tap out, but the old school, like, submission, the old school I quit. Sam, I'm with you. I had it number three, but, you know, if you're going to put it your top match, I can't argue with you. And again, you know, looking back at Bret Hart's career, some of Bret Hart's greatest matches and moments, Sam, come from SummerSlam.
I agree completely. And one other moment, real quick. Tommy had it in his top five, but when Jesse the Body came back, I remember at the time it was like a big time controversy over how he would officiate that main event, because he obviously hated Triple H and he didn't take shit from Steve Austin. So it was like, how is this match going to go? Who's going to win? And then when Mankind won in the end, it was like, what is going on? But anyway, thank you for taking my phone call, guys.
You got it, Sam. And I love Sam's phone call for the reason that he gave at the top of the call. And I completely agree with Sam, Tommy, and is that a lot of my life moments, the timeline revolves around pro wrestling. Like, I, you know, I'm thinking about certain moments in my life, and how do I say, like, identify like the month and the year? It usually is by pro wrestling. And I think Sam said the same thing with his phone call.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dave, it's funny. I know you and I have discussed this. Like, I can go and still today list the heavyweight champion for the WWF and the Intercontinental champion, wins, losses. I could also probably give you where, probably up until the 1990s, like early 90s. And then it kind of tapers off because the titles, you know, flip-flop so much. But that's how special it was. And then just like when you think of the year, I will then say, oh, I was this year's old, or I was wrestling. Like, it is just these amazing things where it opens up your brain, which I kind of need because my brain is swelling. So it's good.
When I think of that 89 SummerSlam, why it's so vivid is like, you know, all the times my dad would drive me to the Brendan Byrne Arena for wrestling. And that was something that, like, Tommy, the feel of the tickets in my hand, like my, you know, this is old school. So, you know, there was no internet. So my dad and I would, and this was just as almost a big a thrill as actually going to the event. My dad and I would drive to the Brendan Byrne Arena to the box office and going through those blue doors of the box office at the Brendan Byrne Arena
and going down those steps.
Oh my gosh. And buying those tickets. And then just like, you know, they used to put it in a white envelope and in the corner would be a drawing of the Brendan Byrne Arena. And I would like, I know you're laughing because you remember, like, I just remember like on the car rides home, like looking at those tickets and then putting it in my special drawer in my bedroom to make sure I never would lose them until the event would take place. The one in 89, I had just got my driver's license a month earlier. My birthday's in July. So I had just gotten my driver's license. So to be able to like drive, you know, to SummerSlam that year, you know, like a month later after getting my license, like that was like the biggest thrill for me. And it's like the whole day, the whole, you know, like when we bought the tickets, I couldn't drive. So my dad driving to the arena to get the tickets and then being able to drive to the arena the night of SummerSlam. It's just an amazing, vivid memory. Just, it's just, you know, etched in my brain.
And then if you think about years later, what, two years ago, you sitting in a suite with your family at WrestleMania, basically in the same parking lot as where you saw that with your dad. It's full circle stuff like that. It's awesome.
Really. Yeah, I mean, I think I've said this story to you and I might have said it to the nation. Like one of my like I get asked a lot, like, you know, what's your favorite memory of hosting Busted Open? And number one is going to be the 10-year anniversary party, like, you know, with you and Bully and Mark and the nation, you know, 700 nation fans being in that bar. But like one other one is WrestleMania 29. That was at MetLife Stadium. They had like Radio Row that year in the Brendan Byrne Arena or at the Izod Center, as it was called then before it closed down. And one of the people I got to interview was Sergeant Slaughter. So I'm on the floor, Tommy, at the Brendan Byrne Arena, and I'm interviewing Sergeant Slaughter. And I said to him, I said, you know, Sarge, I remember my dad taking me to see you go up against Ric Flair for the NWA championship. And I pointed to section 210 because I remember sitting in section 210 with my dad and I got teary eyed and me and Sergeant Slaughter are crying on the floor of the Meadowlands Arena talking about a match that was probably just another match to Sergeant Slaughter. But to me, that match meant everything. And I think that's the beauty of this show. I think that's the beauty of pro wrestling, Tommy. And, you know, and you would understand this, you know, because you're a big sports fan. The common fan, probably 90% of fans never get to go to a World Series. You know, most fans are never able to afford and be able to go to a Super Bowl. But most wrestling fans, you know, are able to experience, you know, a live event, a SummerSlam, a WrestleMania. They're not priced out like a lot of other sports are. And I think that's what the beauty of pro wrestling is, Tommy, is there is probably, I know for myself, more memories with my dad for pro wrestling than there ever will be for the NFL or Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. And, you know, we always like, you know, talk to the nation and people telling us like, oh, you know, I was raised by a single parent and my mom worked a bunch of jobs and she got me tickets for this show. Or like you said, me and my dad, for me, it was me and my dad. My mom only saw me wrestle a handful of times, but she never took me to see a show. It was always my father. And like that simple thing of like you describing your moment, I could go back and like, I remember the color of the handrails as you walk down those steps going into the Brendan Byrne Arena. And they were those really thick handles that were like a circle that if you wanted to, you could slide your entire butt down the thing. But having to walk down to get in, I always thought it was so weird. And those ticket booths were so small, but it was just... And it was just a different time. And another thing that, I mean, I've said today, I miss the actual physical ticket. And I feel that's, there's generations of people who are going to grow up without the joy of a physical ticket in their hand or even as a keepsake for events. And I really do feel that should be an option where you should have not just a printed out, just that actual physical ticket that you could frame it. I think it's really, really cool to have.
When the biggest stories in college sports break, we have you covered.
Big Ten is announcing that the fall is canceled.
These kids had to have a slice of normalcy, and they no longer have that opportunity.
If I was a student athlete in the Big Ten, I'd be pissed.
Rest in peace, Big Ten football in 2020.
Pac-12 has canceled the fall football season.
This is painful. It's a gut punch.
I'm just completely devastated.
What a day for college sports, man. Crazy.
ESPNU Radio, Sirius XM 84.
Somebody who's got a lot to talk about. I know it's been SummerSlam, but he's got a lot to talk about with the Busted Open Nation. He's been in the news lately. He's been on TV lately. We saw him on AEW just a couple of months ago, and that is the Universal Heartthrob himself, Austin Idol. Austin, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really, really appreciate it.
No, we're excited to have you. And, you know, we spoke just a couple of days ago because I know you've been on the news. You've been in the newspapers because you now have Austin Idol's Universal Wrestling College. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's kind of a dream come true for me, Dave. You know, I thought about this, I mean, long, long time ago, if I would ever do it, and if I did do it, how I would put it together, basically, and then I decided to go for it, and the crazy thing about it, I was ready to flip the switch, and then bang, here comes COVID, you know, and that stopped pretty much everybody in their tracks, and then, in spite of it, I had people signing up, and they did. And so now I'm in my 12th week of training. And I've got great kids. I mean, they're just unbelievable kids filled with so much passion and desire. And they're so hungry. And it's just a beautiful thing. You know, they're in their 20s. We have one guy, a couple of guys that are like early 30s, Tommy Dreamer's age. And you better laugh, boy. So it's a beautiful thing, you know, and they graduate. They actually, we had a graduation ceremony, and then they stayed over for the master's program. And you guys know wrestling, oh man, there's so much information. There's so much you can teach and things that what's cool, things will come back to me that I've totally forgotten. And I don't plan anything out. I really don't. And each day is something's different. And we do all kinds of technical things in the ring. And then their mic skills are really, gosh, their mic skills are getting so good. And then I've given them each a character so they can start, you know, getting in that creative mode, that imagining mode, and get them thinking, you know. And they've really, they've come a long way. I'm really proud of these kids.
And Austin, from the clip that I had seen with the news, and I love the fact that they're doing a weekly profile on all your students. This isn't just, you know, the old put up a ring in the middle of a sweaty building, man. This is more of your own little performance center that you got going on, where you're teaching the men and women what they're going to be basically learning if they do ever get signed, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's what's really cool about Tommy is that we have 12,000 square feet. So it's a big building. So you have my my ring on one side of it, then on the other side, but we're like 20, 25 feet apart, is Michael Cole. And Michael, he's a great guy, graduate from Furman, and he's a fitness, you know, exercise and nutrition expert. I mean, he really is a guru. He knows his stuff. So it's like, you know, guys can train here, then they go next door and train over there with machines and weights and whatever with Michael, and vice versa. So it really makes for a performance center. I mean, it's just, you know, and here we are in Greenville, South Carolina. It's the, you know, it's kind of the heart of the old Mid-Atlantic territory.
You know, Austin, you started, you know, gosh, I mean, because you still look phenomenal. It's amazing, like, how good
your
age. No, I'm being serious. So, but you started about 47 years ago. Talk about some of the things that are different now as you're training people and some of the things that are still the same here in 2020 when it comes to wrestling.
Well, in terms of the training, and thank you for the that compliment. Tommy, go ahead and pay him in cash, and I'll send you a check if you don't mind. But and make it big, Tommy. Go big, go large.
Got it.
But anyway, so when I started in the business, you know, and a lot of people know about it, I started in Tampa, Florida. I was the first local kid to break in Tampa, Florida, and it was a different area, a different ball game, rather, a different era. Is what I meant to say. And Eddie Graham was a promoter, and he had all these real deal guys around him that were, you know, really great amateurs. I mean, he had Jack Briscoe, twice AA heavyweight champion in college, Hiro Matsuda, Bob Roop, you know, Greco-Roman guy. And gosh, I mean, just so they made me suffer. I mean, so my guys don't have to go through that. I mean, I literally suffered for about a year, and that basically that's all I was taught to, you know, how much can you take before you give up? And I never quit. And, that was a great lesson. It was a hard lesson, but I learned a lesson to never give up, never quit. So these guys, they've never had to do that. I don't make them do it, you know, they have to be accountable like we all do. So if they want to do although they're getting cardio when they're training, they're getting that. But extra cardio, do it on your own. Weights, machines, do it on your own. Yeah. So it's a different ball game. But some of the things just still hold water. I mean, they really do. They hold water. I mean, the technical things, they still work. You know, I mean, the last, I mean, it's funny, but the very first day that I met up with these kids, they didn't know me. I didn't know them. So we're all strangers. And I gave them a little talking to and orientation, and just told them this is all about respect and love. We're family now. I mean, you've paid your money, you've committed, but we're family now. So here's the things that there's no tolerance for: language. There's no language, there's no vulgarity, no profanity, and no negativity. And they know that. It's all positive, every single workout, all positive, all love. And and they get it, and they got it, and they practice that. And the confidence level, their self-esteem has exploded. I mean, when they first stepped into the ring, and I said this on Fox News last week, that they were like a deer in the headlights. And I started out with them, said, guys, here's how we're going to start. We're not even going to tie up. We're going to start in the center of the ring. Imagine if there's 25,000 people out there watching you. You and I are in a competition, sporting event, a competition. I don't know you. You don't know me. All I know is that I want to beat you. And what you know is you want to beat me. in the eyes, in the posturing, you know, that, you know, it's, you're going after each other. And now we're doing power slams and vertical suplexes and side suplexes and Russian leg sweeps and you name it. I mean, just, it's amazing. I mean, these guys now really, they can do a flawless 10-minute, just rock 'em, sock 'em match right now. So they're not ready yet, but they're getting close. They're getting close.
I get asked on social media all the time about, hey, I want to be a wrestler. And my number one thing I always tell people is find a credible wrestling school, also of someone who's done it. And you have done it. And you've also done different parts of it. When you first start up, you were a big, almost powerlifter guy. You lost a bunch of weight. And then you became the universal heartthrob, Austin Idol. And I always say old school will never die. And what you said in the middle of the ring and those fundamentals. And for a guy, if you go back and you watch any of your matches, you knew how to get heat. You were a great babyface. Every one of your bumps meant something. You were in the middle of the ring. You established your finish. These are all things that I know you're teaching the next generation, because I mean, I talk to you and you still love this industry, and that passion will go through. And like you said, these are now your kids in the sense of their representation of you. And I know you want to see them succeed. So I think that's awesome what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Tommy. And yeah, you really nailed it. And the thing of it is we're not teaching them to be trapeze artists. I mean, we're not teaching the high flying all over the place, not doing that. And we're really safety conscious, but they're definitely getting moves. They're doing moves that they have to know. I mean, they obviously have to know this is critical. So no one's getting hurt. But we're not taking any high risks. We're not going to do that. So that can happen to somebody else somewhere else. It may be them if they get that, you know, opportunity somewhere that's required to do that. But I still go back, and I'm a firm believer of this, that wrestling, yeah, it's evolved. No matter what anybody's opinion, it has evolved. But there are some things, a lot of things actually, that still hold water, and it's up to the individual to have that effect and impact on a television audience, live audience. It's up to that individual, and either you know how to do it or you don't. So I'm teaching them how to have an effect on people, and they're getting it.
Austin, you mentioned about not just in ring, but also on the microphone. Talk about teaching these young athletes how to be good on the mic, you know, selling people to want to watch your match, and, you know, how important those mic skills are, because you were definitely somebody that knew how to get people into an arena.
Yeah, you know, Jim Cornette said Idol could talk him into the building, you know, and then maybe it all went downhill. I don't know. But yeah, I've explained to them that they can be phenomenal in the ring, but if they're not incredible on the mic in front of that camera, it doesn't matter. You've got to be good. You've got to be dynamic, and you have to be smart. You have to think for yourself and think spontaneously, and don't wait for someone to say, hey, you're wrestling Tommy Dreamer tonight at the House of Hardcore. You know, you don't have to have that person, that place, that venue to have a great promo. You just have to be able to know yourself and always, and I tell them this, guys, be thinking all the time. Think of taglines. Think of anything that can increase your character. Like, I mean, the guys that I have now, I mean, they were just themselves. And one kid, his name is Matt Fry. He's the pretty boy now. Pretty boy, Taylor Swift's toy. Pretty boy, Taylor's toy. So I gave him that. And I said, think about that. Think about you're the pretty boy. Think about how you can cut that promo. You know, I have a guy, the gifted one, and he works for Bosch. Is really, they're all great guys. They really are. His name is Joshua Croft. I said, you're the gifted one. You have the highest IQ ever known to man. Now think about that and put it to use. Put it to work. Why are you so smart? Who are you hanging with? Who's contacting you to consult with you? Is it Elon Musk? Who is it? You know, give them all these ideas, and then one guy, Tommy, I love them all, but I call him the Rat. He's from Queens, and I call him the Rat. And this kid, I mean, he went from scared to death. Now he makes a great promo. He can wrestle. He's going to make a great manager. Yeah, his name is Dennis Lukovich. He's going to make a great manager. If he ever gets a break, he's going to make a great manager. But they're all good, and they're all understanding, and they're all just good students. You know, they're not like I was in school. They actually listen.
You know, Austin, yeah. Dave and I always talk about the difference with wrestling, and a lot of fans talk about it. It's hard to watch without an audience because, as you know, we work for an audience. But the people who are getting over and the people who are resonating with fans are the ones that are actually being able to talk to a live audience. And that's how we have to adapt. The business always adapts. And if you think about it, in COVID, the world stopped, but wrestling never did. I think it's key that you're helping these men and women to learn how to talk, because, you know, anything and everything always happens in the business. But if you're going to try to find a way to success, you got to be able to communicate to a television audience, because it's a lot different. You could tell people to shut up or give a look when there's a crowd there, but now that there's no crowd. So it's important, and it's key to be able. That's how we're talking all day about SummerSlam and connections and memories. That's how people are going to connect with the upcoming talent of the future.
Yeah, it's changed. I mean, no doubt about it. It's changed. And you've got to be able to look in that camera and not just always look into the camera. You know, so much of my stuff back in the day was not looking in the camera because everybody else was doing it. So, you know, I thought, well, I'll be a contrarian. I mean, look in it when the time is right, but, you know, I was always looking all over the place, like I didn't even know the camera was there, you know. It's because at this point we don't have the live audiences. You've really got to ramp up. I mean, you've really got to be special. So, and they know it. They absolutely, matter of fact, in the last couple of, training sessions, that's what I've really got. I'm really starting to push the promos right now with them. And I just tell them, okay, you're on, you know, go. It's go time. You got 25,000 people out there, or you got nobody out there, but it's go time. So give it to me. And they're really understanding, and they're getting after it. So it's cool, man. It's really, really cool. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Here with Austin Idol, make sure you go to UniversalWrestlingCollege.com. Again, the website is UniversalWrestlingCollege.com to find out all the information. It's absolutely amazing. And last thing from me, Austin, it's always a pleasure having you on. I'm so glad that you have the Wrestling College now, because I really do think you have a lot to teach and a lot to say. So I'm glad that there's these young students that want to get into this world and that you're actually going to be their mentor. But I'm sure one thing, especially in 2020, especially in times like this, how important it is to have your own brand. You had it, you know, before Hulkamania, there was Idol Mania. How important is it having your own brand?
Man, it's a big difference maker, David. It really is a big difference maker. And Tommy kind of talked a little bit about that. But, you know, if you're going to go to any, you go anywhere to get instruction, to do anything, be a welder, be a plumber, whatever, a wrestler, boy, you want to make sure that educator, that professor, has a footprint. They've been there. They've done it. It's documented. It's certified. They know what they're doing. And you're going to feel comfortable, like, okay, I feel comfortable that I'm going to get what I want here at Austin Idol's Universal Wrestling College. And it's just, you know, I mean, there's so many. I would not want to go to to have wrestling instruction, you know, where the guy comes out underneath the car, he's changing his oil and says, yeah, I'm a wrestler. My name is Johnny Rocket. Well, where have you been, Johnny? What have you done? What have you done in the business? Well, nothing. I've wrestled in Yipslap, Georgia at the Vidalia Onion Festival. You know what I mean? That's not your guy. I mean, Tommy Dreamer would feel very comfortable. You're very comfortable learning from Tommy Dreamer. I mean, the guy has got a footprint that's is huge, absolutely huge. He's documented. He's certified. He's the real deal. And so I feel like hopefully I'm in that category that people can say, that's where I want to go. Plus, our venue is unreal. Our venue is just unreal.
And again, go to UniversalWrestlingCollege.com for the information. Also, follow Austin Idol on all social media, at Austin Idol Live. That's at Austin Idol Live. And again, the website is UniversalWrestlingCollege.com. Austin, always a pleasure having you on. Thanks so much for the time today.
Oh, David, thank you so much. And Tommy, thank you so much. It really was a great time. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and hopefully we can do it again.
SiriusXM NFL Radio is getting you ready for the 2020 season.
Joined by the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden.
We've rebuilt this team. We had a really good rookie class last year, and this year, if you could just see us practice, you'd be so impressed with Ruggs, our first-round pick from Alabama. We got a long way to go, but we have added some speed. Last year, we added some size, and those are two things the Raiders are known for.
There's a story for every team on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Now, we made the announcement on Friday. As of Monday morning, we had over 1,000 people register for the party. I don't know what the number is now, but we want to get 10,000 people to be a part of our party. Somebody that I think can bring those numbers up is our own friend of the show, RJ City, who joins us right now. And RJ, I know that you are going to be part of a very special segment that is taking place on Sunday.
First of all, I love how you said, I'm your own friend of the show. You know what I mean? You could have just picked a lane there. I'm either your own or I'm either the friend of the show. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're my friend. I didn't say you're a friend of anybody else that's on the show. That's
fair enough. Fair enough. But I'm hosting a very special segment that is apropos for, I think, all of us, and me especially, as per the music you just heard. I will be hosting a SummerSlam party time match game.
And Tommy, I think you would agree, if we were going to have somebody host a match game segment, it's got to be RJ City.
It was universally unanimous when having the production meeting saying, what can we do to get RJ City on? And then, boom, here he is.
Well, I told Gabby that I would have been livid if I was not asked to host this match game. If you got, you know, Craig DeGeorge or Ken Resnick or something to host it, I would have been very, very upset.
No, you listen, myself, Mark, Dave, we all we agree. You're our guy.
Thank you. And I'm not going to let you down. I've been practicing. We have a list of questions I've been fastidiously working on. And you guys, can we announce the panel of celebrities?
Well, I was just going to say, Gabby, are we allowed to announce who is going to be a part of our match game segment on Sunday?
Sure. Let's announce it.
All right. So, RJ, let's hear who's going to be a part of this panel that we're going to have on Sunday.
Well, the panel of celebrities is a can't-miss roster, including a luminary like Dave LaGreca, Thomas Dreamer, Bully Raymond, and a man who was very upset that I did not give him a good score in the chair dance challenge, one Marcus Henry.
So I'm looking forward to being a part of that, Tommy. Now, Gabby, are we allowed to announce the contestants for our match game on Sunday?
Well, I have not been told either way, Dave. But
so that's no, it's still a surprise.
It's still a surprise.
We're on the fly.
Okay.
I so hope it's Fanny Farmer.
Fanny Flag.
Her too.
You had one reference and you blew it.
I was thinking of the farmer's daughter. I'm sorry.
Well, that's now okay. I know two people who have been on the most recent version of the actual match game, Mario Cantone and David Arquette. I asked David for advice, but he still hasn't gotten back to me because he just texts sporadically, so he's a wash. But Mario has been helping me come up with the questions, come up with the flow. I'm really excited. I think this could take off.
Nice. Do you have a skinny microphone?
I do have a skinny microphone. I have it on me, but you can't see it.
It's so skinny, I can't see it. It's almost yes. invisible.
Yes. Do you want to do a practice question?
Oof. Well, I blew my fanny flag thing, so...
Oh, come on, Tommy. You can do it. Come on.
All right, let's go.
Okay. All right. Well, this is good. I'll pick one that insults Tommy directly, as per Bully Raymond. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, we'll play along. Okay. Tommy Dreamer is so fat.
How fat is he?
Is he? Am I?
So fat. Instead of a WWE Hall of Fame ring, they're giving him a blank.
Ooh. What could it be?
Very good. And then there'll be a moment of thinking while we play the music and a slow yep. pan of all the celebrities, you know, and I'll make some quick banter. And then we'll go, well, let's go to Dave LaGreca. And then I'll read the question again. I'll say, Tommy Dreamer is so fat. Instead of a WWE Hall of Fame ring, they're giving him a blank.
Ham.
Wow. Interesting choice.
That would get a boo.
Yeah. And then you'll look at the audience and go, what? Come on.
What a ham. I wouldn't mind having a glazed ham.
Tommy, what is your suggestion?
No one would pick that. No contestant would pick that. I would say they're giving him his own tire.
Oh, very nice, because his fingers are large. Very good. See, I would have chosen, I was going to say WWE Hall of Fame girdle.
I call that Under Armour. Thank you very much.
But yes. Right. It's Spanx for men who like to jog. But it's good. See, and herein lies the fun with the game. And we'll all laugh and have a hoot and all that kind of thing. As much as we're doing right now.
Will you be wearing a suit that has elbow pads?
I don't know if I'm intellectual enough, but I will be wearing a suit that I have no reason wearing anywhere else but to host this segment.
I love it. I love it.
Since we're going to be on Zoom, while you're asking the questions, the contestants who we don't know who they are, but I hear that's pretty big, I'm going to start smoking cigarettes for the first time in my life. So as when the Zoom pans to me, you could see like the smoke bellowing up like Richard Dawson used
yes.
to.
Yes. Well, okay. Speaking of Richard Dawson, I could get you some little behind the scenes heat here.
All right.
Ooh, okay. A little history lesson when it comes to Match Game. I love it, RJ City.
Thank you. So Richard Dawson was excellent at Match Game, and he was quite the Casanova. So the contestants in the final round where they could pick one celebrity to match with, they would always, always, always pick him. Because unlike a fanny flag, he would give very reliable answers. The producers thought, this isn't good to have them always pick Richard all the time. Even though they like him, they want a little, you know, diversity. Mix it up. Maybe a Nipsey Russell. Maybe a Brett Summers. Whatever. So they forewent the pick your own celebrity, and then they introduced the randomized wheel of celebrities, which you'll remember in perhaps Match Game 77 or something. That way, they couldn't always pick Richard, and they could pick different celebrities. Richard got insulted, basically said, it's not my fault that I'm good at this, and then he left to host Family Feud.
Nice. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So there you go. Shooting from the hip here. A lot of Match Game heat.
And then, you know, I don't think any wrestler ever appeared on Match Game.
I don't think so. Although Charles Nelson Reilly was in the movie Body Slam.
Yeah. All right. Well, then that kind of works.
And Betty White was a guest on Monday Night Raw.
There you go. I'm not a fan of her because B. Arthur didn't like her, David. Now, B. Arthur had heat with Betty.
Now, can you give the reason why? Why did B. Arthur have problems with Betty White?
She thought she was a little, that whole nice act was a little bit of a scam. And also B thought, B is from the theater. So the sitcom television of that time was a little beneath her. And she didn't have time for the niceties that Betty White provided.
Interesting. She did not have time for pleasantries, Tommy.
No.
B. Arthur.
And now I think for the next year's SummerSlam party, we're going to do the 7 degrees of separation to Tommy Dreamer, because now I just related myself to Charles Nelson Reilly. So that's good. In 4 just moves. So that's good. That's next year's game.
You know what's good, though, about you, Tommy, is that you worked with Ed Asner, who is like the waypoint for almost any degree of separation.
Yeah, no, so I'm good.
So that's fantastic. Well, I'm excited for this. And what are you wearing, Thomas, to this? I mean, not now. I mean, what will you be wearing?
Well, I did say if we hit 10,000, I will do it in the Raw.
Yeah.
To attract my bear demographic. And if we get the 10,001, I'm giving away Gabby. She's going to get married like Savage and Elizabeth on the air. So that's kind of what we're looking for.
Fantastic. Well, you know, when Tommy did Coffee and Underwear with me, he gained some lifelong fans who had never seen his physique before. And they were, to coin a phrase, entranced by the man.
Thank you very much. I'm very sexy.
So I'm looking forward to this on Sunday, RJ City. Who better to host this amazing segment from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday for our virtual Busted Open SummerSlam party? RJ City, since we can't have it at a venue, we're going to do it in everyone's home. Anyone who registers right now at SiriusXM.com/SummerSlam, we will go to their home and we'll party in their house. So, Tommy, I can't wait for this. And RJ City is probably the most underrated talent in the world. Not in the world of wrestling, in the world right now, Tommy. I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely. Big RJ City fan. And if you think about it, RJ, this will be the largest. We get 10,000 people. That'll be the largest audience that has ever seen you perform in your very RJ City way.
Not true. I once opened for Donna Summer in Atlantic City. But other than that... this would definitely be the biggest one. I'm excited. I'm bringing something to the party. I know it's virtual, but I'll be bringing a Cobb salad and I'll be eating it during the show just to get nice. That summertime barbecue kind of feel. No?
Listen, you don't have to do it in your living room. You could do it out on the patio, out on the lanai.
Yes.
You can do it out there.
Stairs. Yes.
Yes.
By the way, may I add, make a contribution for my favorite SummerSlam moment? Is that okay?
Sure. Absolutely. Of course.
1992, London, England. It's not a match. It's Roddy Piper playing the bagpipes, playing Scotland the Brave in this wonderful pink and white shirt he wore. And it led to nothing. It was just a musical performance. And I think they should bring that back. I want to see, you know, Randy Orton tackle the oboe, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's what's missing today. I say more musical performances.
I like it. I hated the Salt and Pepper musical performance at WrestleMania one year. Did not like it.
Yeah. You were not a What a Man fan?
I was just very disappointed.
Yeah, I understand. One of my favorite national anthems was O Canada at WrestleMania 6 by Robert Goulet.
Goulet.
Yeah.
Goulet.
Who was hated by both Elvis and Frank Sinatra to talk about Goulet heat.
That's
wow.
Monumental
yeah.
heat.
Yeah. Obviously, I would heat. Say Rene Goulet was liked far better than Robert Goulet.
We're gonna what did that get heat stem battle. For him? Had to be a lady. Had they to be a just, lady.
They, probably a lady. But legend has it is that Elvis was watching his TV and Robert Goulet appeared and Elvis pulled out a pistol and shot his own television.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's Goulet is the X-Pac of, you know, he gets Goulet heat.
Goulet heat. For performers, you don't want to get Goulet heat because that's go away heat. RJ City, I can't wait for you to be a part of this on Sunday. I thank you because I know, you know, time is something that you don't have a lot of. You're a very, very busy man. And the fact that you want to party with the Busted Open Nation on Sunday means a lot to us. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I've worked it into my schedule. I'm working on a reboot of CPO Sharky just across the hall in Studio B. So it's a lot to balance, but I'm happy to do it. And I'm so honored that you would have me. And now these mystery contestants get to match the stars.
And they're big. And I'm so glad you chose that instead of a remake of Hello Larry. So RJ City, I give you a lot of credit for that. So thank you very much. And I can't wait to talk to you on Sunday again, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. He is going to be the host of our very special match game, Busted Open style. During the party, we have some big name contestants that are going to be a part of that segment. Guests all around. We're going to start making the announcements on tomorrow's show. But we had to have the best first, and that's RJ City. RJ, thanks so much again. Can't wait to talk to you on Sunday.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward to filling both your blanks.
RJ City.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.